Mr. Paul.
Call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order. Welcome, everyone. We have two bills on our schedule today. We will take them in reverse order. We will start out by opening a public hearing on House Bill 2179.
Mazet. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2179 takes an explanation or an attempt to recapture an issue that was not clear from the 2001, House Bill 2001 of the 2009 session. House Bill 2001 is the big transportation package that was passed in the 2009 session. In that bill, there was an allowance for counties to start raising their own registration fees, and this started by allowing the counties with population over 350,000 to do it immediately, and then starting 2013, it will 2013 will give everybody else the ability to do it, and but to do the registration fees increase, that is, and then the counties, the smaller counties, would have to still go to their electorate. The immediate registration fee increase was for the purpose of building the Silwood Bridge. Now, what was not clear in the bill, that you could bond against those registration fees in order to bridge the gap in funding, if you will. So this bill allows the county to bond to pay, and then the 2013, if they choose also to bond for other types of projects, will give that allowance for them to do so as well.
Okay, we are honored with the presence of Representative Tomei and Commissioner Kifori. So why don't you start out, Representative Tomei?
Thank you, Chair Burdick and committee. Thank you for allowing me to appear today. For the record, I'm Carolyn Tomei. I'm state representative representing Milwaukee and portions of Southeast Portland. In particular, I represent the Selwood neighborhood, which is the home of the Selwood Bridge. This measure is a technical fix, as the staff person was able to say, to last session's transportation bill, which was House Bill 2001. It's needed to move the Selwood Bridge project forward. This bill does not impact the state, but our local counties need to provide certainty around their financing plan. The Selwood Bridge, as many of you know, is an 85-year-old bridge which crosses the Willamette River. It has reached the end of its useful life. It is functionally and structurally obsolete, rates 2 out of 100 on a bridge sufficiency scale. The narrow two-lane bridge has a single substandard sidewalk and no bike lanes. Buses and heavy trucks are prohibited from crossing. I've participated in the extensive planning process with my constituents and other community members to choose a locally preferred alternative in bridge design. City, county, state, and federal agencies are all involved and have finally reached consensus. After many, many years of discussion, we are ready to move forward in construction in 2012. But unfortunately, we've discovered this little glitch in last session's legislature. And we need this fix. We have representatives from Multnomah County here to explain the technicalities to you, and I urge you to please support this bill and move it to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. And with your permission, I'm supposed to be in judiciary right this minute, and I ran from there to come here to testify. So I'm sure if you have questions that these two wonderful people can answer them better
than
I could.
I'm sure they will be. Are there any quick questions for Representative Tomei? So we can release her. Okay, you're free.
Thank you.
Free at last. You're so lucky. Okay. Welcome, Commissioner Kifori.
Thank you. Welcome. Well, I feel very lucky to be here, so thank you for allowing us this opportunity, Chair Burdick, members of the committee. My name is Deborah Cafori. I'm Multnomah County Commissioner, and I think Representative Tomei, I'm here to support her today in this project that we've been working on together for many years. The Selwood Bridge is also in my district as well as being part of our regional transportation system in the Portland area. And last year, last session in the bill, House Bill 2001, it gave permission to Multnomah County and Clackamas County to enact a local vehicle registration fee for the purpose of design, replacement, engineering, and construction of the Selwood Bridge. And when we went, so we passed our vehicle registration fee in Multnomah County and went to bond council, and they informed us that we needed to have specific language in the bill that says, which is what we're adding in 2179, that the dollars may be used to pay debt service and costs related to bonds or other obligations issued for such purposes. So it really just clarifies the fact, which we believe was the intent of the bill, was to allow us to bond the vehicle registration fee dollars to pay our portion of the construction of the Selwood Bridge.
And then Clackamas County has also passed a smaller registration fee. Does this authority extend to them as well? Is that their intention doing it? Okay. Is that the end of your testimony?
That's it.
Okay. Clackamas County, they were all on the radio this morning on Think Out Loud, and which raises the question, Clackamas County has a measure on their ballot to repeal the license registration or the registration fee to pay for their share. If that succeeds and Clackamas County is not able to contribute $22 million, then what is going to happen?
Well, first I want to go back a step and say that before, when the Clackamas County Commissioners voted to approve the $5 a year vehicle registration fee for their citizens, after they passed it and there was the rumblings about going forward with such a repeal, we did some polling in some focus groups in Clackamas County and learned that there was a sizable majority that supported it from that point. And we're hoping that because of the real strong safety issues around this bridge, you heard that it's a 2 out of on a scale of 100. And 5 years ago, a study was done by David Evans and Associates who found that the bridge actually, they thought it had a lifespan of about 10 years further, and that was 5 years ago. So we know that at some point it's going to have to close if we can't come up with the money to replace it. We have put together a great financing package. I think I handed out a sheet that has the other partners, which the state of Oregon is one. Thank you for last session's $30 million. We do believe that if Clackamas County voters, first of all, we feel pretty strongly that they will pass it. $5 a year is not a big price to pay for an important regional asset. But if for some reason they do decide, the citizens, that they are not going to put up the money, the project will change. We haven't spent a lot of time focusing on what the project will look like without the $22 million, because we've been we're under a real short timeline. There's in-water work windows due to the endangered species listing. There's all kinds of priorities. We're trying to get out in front of the costs of steel and cement rising. So we've been really focused on getting the bridge built as quickly as possible. So we haven't spent a lot of time trying to figure out what would happen if the funding doesn't come through. I do know that it will not be the same project. It can't be. We'll be $22 million short.
Okay, maybe tolls. One-way tolls.
We did a study, actually, about tolling the bridge and found that it's not possible to charge enough money or charge. There's a sweet spot, you know, and otherwise people will go to the other bridges, and you can't raise enough money to actually do anything. So at this point, tolling is not an option unless we toll every bridge along the Willamette, which I don't think anybody is signing up for.
My apologies for being a little off topic of this bill, but it was timely because of recent press coverage. Right. Are there other questions from the committee? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I do have a
Senator Morris?
Question. Can these monies be used for anything other than roads or bridges? The other part of the bill for counties of less than 350,000. Are they fungible or are they dedicated to highways, bridges, streets, roads, et cetera?
Chair Burdick, Senator Morris, Nancy Bennett with Multnomah County. This bill relates to our vehicle registration fee for this purpose of the Selwood Bridge, so Clackamas County and Multnomah County. Now, in the future, if other counties, I think after 2014, can enact a vehicle registration fee, and it wouldn't be limited to bridges or any particular reason, but that was something from House Bill 2001, that's existing statute. So this bill doesn't address that. I don't know if that answers your question. But
the question is whether vehicle registration fees can be used for other purposes, and I think Mazen, that'd be a good question for you. I don't know the answer.
Senator Morris, the bill, and we did amend the bill in the House side to clarify this. The bill has two sections. The section that is immediately applicable applies to the registration fees raised to build the solid bridge. So it's very specific, and that specification continues even after 2013. However, in 2013, the four counties that are above 350,000, which is Multnomah, Clackamas, Washington, and Lane, would have the ability to increase their registration fees, and other counties would have to have a vote of the electorate to do so. However, once they have done that, they could use that for any road projects that applies in the same way that the constitutional dedication of the highway fund is restricted away.
Okay,
I think that was my question. Yeah.
Is there a constitutional direction for how these monies would be spent? And you're saying yes, it is. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
for coming. Okay. We have nobody else signed up. Is there anybody else who wants to talk on this? All right. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2179. Open a work session on House Bill 2179. Senator Morris.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2179A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morris has moved House Bill 2179 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. I think I am actually the closest to the Selwood Bridge, so I will carry it. All right. Now we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 863.
That's it. Chair Burdick and members of the committee, the Senate Bill 863 is primarily the bill that comes to you from Business, Transportation, and Economic Development on the Senate, and this allows for the raising of about $5 million a year for the low-income energy assistance program or something of the sort that is very similar to it in order to allow for help with the energy and heating assessment for low-income residents. Now, this puts four primary conditions before the PUC can go and ask energy companies to do that, and the conditions being on the 10% of the last 6 months of unemployment rate being at 10%, and you have it in your SMS or the revenue impact statement, the Oregon poverty rate to exceed 12% for the 12 months, and three with the federal low-income energy assistance being 75% less than the previous year, and also the supplement nutritional assistance exceeding 20%. The expectation for these conditions are to occur for both the coming 2 years, and the bill does have a maximum of 2 years for that $5 million. So we do expect about $10 million to be raised by this bill for that purpose. And as you noticed, and just anticipating all the questions that might, or the discussion, I asked Legislative Council to be here to be answering any of the, your questions about raising the different amounts of revenue and why is that and why is it in the Senate and so on.
Good. We have a Legislative Council and former Legislative Council in the room here. Don't look around, Brendan. That's you. We have three people signed up and three chairs. So Brendan McCarthy, Jess Kincaid, and Scott Bolton.
Wants to start?
It's me. Senator Burdick, members of the committee, Brendan McCarthy representing Portland General Electric. PGE is an investor-owned utility. We serve 822,000 customers in the greater Portland and Salem metro regions in six counties. We serve 52 cities of our service territory of about 4,000 square miles. This bill came out of a conversation that started many months ago, at least inside PGE, with our executive corps asking whether there were additional ways that we could look at assisting our low-income customers in helping them pay their bills. Through many conversations and, again, with CAPO, we settled on the idea that a temporary or a potential temporary bump in the meter charge could be that mechanism to provide additional bill payment assistance. You may recall the meter charge exists. It was passed at the same time the public purpose charge was passed, but they are two separate and distinct things. The public purpose charge goes for primarily renewable generation and efficiency, and the meter charge, which is currently sits at about, for residential customers of PGE, at about 50 cents a month a customer, goes to bill payment assistance and crisis assistance. That money is fed from the utilities through the housing department and then goes to the community action agencies that help implement that program. We have seen over the past several years with the down economy an increase in the stresses and people paying their bills. That's evidenced through additional 15-day notices and 5-day notices that we send out. We are extremely flexible with people in bill payment. I spoke with one of our collections persons last week, as a matter of fact, and he said we actually hear from utilities around the country as to how flexible we are when it comes to working with people to pay their bills. But ultimately, the economy has put people on a spot that it's very difficult for them to do so. This imposes a cost on the utility and ultimately to the customers. And the question, I think, for you is whether it's more efficient, in a sense, to get people some assistance in helping them pay those bills on and on, you know, over time, or whether they get into a cycle of shutoffs, disconnects, causing additional costs to the utility system overall. Obviously, we think it's more efficient to do it on the front end. So if this bill is adopted, PGE customers will see an increase potentially if the economic situations are there, if housing makes that determination that they are there, to raise an additional $5 million between PGE and PacifiCorp. PGE residential customers will see about a 35-cent a month increase. So they would go from about 50 cents total to about 85 cents total. And that would be for 1 year. And then an additional decision would be made, potentially another increase. Separate and distinct from that amount, though, and I want to thank Housing for working so openly with us, there are permanent provisions of this bill which allow the utilities and the agencies and the state agencies to work together to find additional ways that we can serve this customer group. In helping them pay their bill, sort of bill payment design types of things. And we think those are a really good idea to move forward on. There might be other ways that we can skin this cat. And with that, I'll move it over.
Okay. Welcome.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jess Kincaid. I'm the Energy Coordinator for Community Action Partnership of Oregon. Our association works with community action agencies, nonprofits, and utilities around Oregon to provide, among other things, energy assistance to low-income households. Last year, we were able to serve over 100,000 households in Oregon and help them pay their heating bills. We are in support of Senate Bill 863 for three primary reasons. As Mr. McCarthy stated, it will raise up to $5 million a year for each of the next 2 years to help struggling families pay their energy bills. We feel this is necessary, particularly since 2008. We've seen a doubling each winter in our requests for energy assistance. This year, during the first week of January, we had over 56,000 requests for energy assistance. That's in 1 week, and that's enough to expend half of our annual funding. In addition, we feel that it brings immediate and temporary resources, but it's a bill that is designed to meet this need on a temporary basis, which we feel is best suited. This bill, as Mr. McCarthy also mentioned, it encourages collaboration and innovation. It allows us to strengthen our partnerships with the local utilities in serving customers to make sure that the programs are as cost-effective as possible. It also gives us better information to track the impacts of these programs. We have had solid data regionally about how these programs can impact a low-income consumer and the larger rate base. But this will allow us to look at, specifically in Oregon, the strengths and benefits of the services we provide. Unless you have any questions, I'll ask my colleague.
Scott?
Chair Burdick, committee member Scott Bolton for Pacific Corp. Pacific Corp serves Oregon as Pacific Power. We have about 550,000 customers in the state. Unlike our good friends at PGE, we're primarily a rural power company, and so over the last few years we've seen increased need for low-income assistance across counties such as Crook, Josephine, Jackson, places that have been significantly hard hit by the down economy. In the interest of time, I'll just hit a few high points to build on the testimony of my good colleagues here. One item I'd like to point out is that this is that the loss of the very potential loss of federal low-income energy assistance funding will absolutely be felt by our customers in Oregon. We see this program as an opportunity to help supplement what the state already does to help out those who are most in need, and that this is designed in a way so that it's really residential customers helping residential customers. So just to make very clear, our business customers and industrial customers will not be impacted by this legislation. And probably the capstone is that, as you've already heard, Pacific Power is excited by the opportunity that this bill provides to increase the level of cooperation and information sharing in program design so that we can better design and tailor low-income assistance programs with the state Housing and Community Service Agency to make sure that we're delivering assistance in the most effective way possible. So we urge you to support the bill. Thanks.
Thank you. Now, between the two of you, I think this bill would only affect PGE and Pacific Power, is that correct?
Chair Burdick, that's correct.
And between the two of you, I believe you represent, you cover 70% of the ratepayers in Oregon. The rest are covered by co-ops or other utilities or public utilities. Do you know what they do for this, for low-income assistance? Do they have programs as well?
Chair Burdick, committee members, yes. Most utilities have some sort of low-income assistance program, and I believe all utilities in Oregon are allocated part of the federal LIHEAP program as well to administer.
Okay. And then maybe for Jess, does this program work for the people who are not covered by PP&L and PGE?
Chair Burdick, historically, we have found that the need has met the lion, or excuse me, the funding available has met the lion's share of the need. However, we have heard speculation, and it is just speculation, that there's a potential for a dramatic reduction in our energy assistance funding from the federal government next year. perhaps as much as 50%, but again, it's speculation. We have no confirmed numbers. If that's the case, the programs that are available outside of investor-owned territories, we would need to work with those utilities in order to serve their customers in the same way that we work with PG and PPL and Ms. Bell.
Okay, thank you. I want to commend you for working together on this. This is obviously, when someone gets to the point where they can't heat their home, that's a very serious situation. Are there other questions from the committee? Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And going off what your comment on, obviously, particularly in this economy, you know, there are a lot of people that need assistance. But what we're doing here is mandating that consumers have 35 cents added to their bill to help those less fortunate, while the ultimate recipient of some of these dollars are nonprofits who, you know, I think we're getting mixed up as to the nanny state and the nonprofit. I mean, nonprofits raise money to help people in need. What we're doing here is statutorily mandating that somebody else help somebody by adding 35 cents to their bill. So, you know, I'm having a little problem with mandating. It's almost like a tax, mandating an extra charge to somebody's bill to help somebody who's in need versus doing it through the nonprofit world with contributions, et cetera. My rates in my area just went up 14%+, and now we're asking people to donate another 35 cents a month to somebody who's less fortunate. So just have a little problem with mandating this. I'm not saying that there should not be some assistance to low-income people who can't afford to keep their electricity on, but I'm not sure I want to mandate others to take the, that responsibility.
Do you want to comment on that? How long has the 50-cent charge been in for you all?
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, since 2007. Well, since the last time the bill payment assistance amount was raised was 2007, and it went from $10 million per year to $15 million per year statewide, or between the two major utilities. Before that, the $10 million was put in place in 1999 and was begun to be collected, I suppose, some point in time after that, 2000 or 2001.
Was that put in connection with the deregulation legislation?
Chair Burdick, yes, it was.
A lot of things got put together around that.
Yeah, I noticed. All right. Other questions from the committee? Okay, thank you. We will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 863, and we'll probably bring this back another day. So that completes our agenda for today. So we have our joint committee on tax credits tomorrow at 8:30, correct? And so we'll see you all then. We're adjourned.